We're in Psalm 8 today. Psalm 8, verse 1 is, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee on this excellent day because thou art an excellent God, and thou art good in thine excellence. We ask that thou wouldst show thyself to us this day as we look into thy word. We pray that thou wouldst direct our hearts and our minds to thee throughout this time. We ask it, and afterwards, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Psalm 8 tells us of God's goodness to all of mankind. God is good, there is no other God. Would that the world would learn that truth. I believe in the Holy Trinity. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one, and the one God is good to mankind. According to verse 1, his name is excellent. Excellent means superior, very good, or eminently good. One of God's greatest traits is that he is good. Let's see how that is as we look at some of God's excellent things. First, God's name is excellent. I like that. God's name is excellent. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Notice the words, who has set thy glory above the heavens. God's creation is his glory. God created all that is. He created all that we see, all that we don't see. He would, if we could see all of creation, the seeing would be mind-boggling. But when we look at the clearest eye and with the best equipment, we see but little of creation. And we use a microscope to see small things, but still we don't see all that is hidden in its smallness. In the greatness of creation, our sight remains limited. Linda was telling me about where she used to work, perched on a hill in the middle of a valley. One night, the night was clear, not partly cloudy, not partly moony, but clear all around. There were twinkling diamonds on black velvet. It was glorious to see. It seemed one could just reach out and grab a hunk of moon. That was where Linda worked. Now, I remember aboard ship in the middle of the Pacific. With running lights low, the night was clear and clean as it is out on the ocean, like a canopy of lights way up in the sky. I was there as the stars swayed back and forth as the ship rocked on the deep. It was a beautiful sight. It showed me how small man is and how great God is. Now hear this. Creation. I believe in the Big Bang theory of creation. It was long ago and far away that a bang occurred, bringing time to eternity. Have you seen it? It echoes through the ages. Can you grasp the power behind it? Can you wrap your mind around the plan that God conceived? Listen carefully. This is what happened. There was once a vast void, a place where nothing was, a no place place. It belonged to God, but into God's void came a bang, and it was big. In English, it sounded like, let there be. And it was, as it was said. It was big, it was loud, and it changed things in God's void, as the Lord said in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. So power tumbled from the tongue of omnipotence and soared across the heavens as light landed in chaos. It was big. It was powerful. It was good. It was brilliant. But no one saw it save the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, God looked at the light and said, "That's good, that's good, that's good." And the three agreed as one. Time came to eternity in God's creation. This is our God. He has set his glory above the heavens where everyone can see it. That's recorded in Psalm 19, verses 1, 2, and 3, where the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, in Psalm 8, David sets before our eyes the wonder and power and glory of creation. However, creation is not David's theme. David's theme is God's infinite goodness. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God created all that is, and all that is good in its creation. O Lord, our Lord, what an excellent name. No other name can compare to God's most excellent name. His name is excellent in power. His name is far above every name. Subsequently, at the sound of his name, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every demon in hell and or devil on earth will bow. No option. We read that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad we bow to him now, that we won't be forced to bow on that day. On that day, we will bow, but will we bow in love for him? For the lost, it's too late. On that day, mercy and compassion are shut up to the lost. On that day, the pit will open wide to receive the lost, and on that day, the lost will not be disobedient. The Lord, the lost, won't be disobedient on that day, but on that day, it's too late for the lost. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Today, when you hear that name, what do? If you are saved, this is what I hope you do. You bow to him. When you hear that name today, you say in your heart, "Yes, Lord, I know you, and I bow the knee to you right now. I worship you, O God." Glorify him when you hear his name. And here you are. You're riding down the road in your shiny new automobile. When COVID-19 is gone, all is right with the world. You have a job, your family's doing right, the sun shines on the road, and it shines in your heart. All of a sudden, you break out in this song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Then, there you are again, you think of the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden you start singing, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end." Amen. Amen. You're saved. And when you hear his name today, you praise him, you glorify him, you bow before him, you worship him, and you obey him. Now, if you can't do that when you hear his name, you go to Jesus Christ right where you sit, right where you are, right now, and beg for mercy from the only one who is truly merciful. He's compassionate. He will save you if you go to him in truth, begging for mercy. He won't condemn you. He will love you. His name is Jesus Christ, and Jesus saves. So you go to him in spirit and in truth, casting all your care upon him. He will save you. Then you will get up and truly praise him when you hear his name. I would rather bow to him now while I have the choice and the will then when I have no choice and the eternal, burning, fiery furnace approaches, unstoppable. Listen to me. When you hear the name of Jesus today, tell him that you love him. Tell him that you love him for what he has done for you. He loves you. Because he loves you, he gave you his son. Bow before him, love him, praise him today when you hear his name. God's name is excellent. And then, listen to this. Number two, God's love is excellent. Psalm 8, 3 through 4. Psalm 8, 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Our God is great, powerful, holy. By the way, let me ask you a question. What is God? Well, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And this true God, this only God, thinks about us. David said, thou art mindful of him, God's thoughts. Listen to me. God's thoughts rest on us, inordinately so. We occupy his thoughts. This great God, high, holy, exalted in goodness, stoops to our level. His thoughts and his deeds penetrate the muck and the mire that surrounds this world. His thoughts are on the best of us and on the worst of us. And here we are rubbing shoulders with murderers, rapists, abusers of mankind, rubbing shoulders with people that we would avoid if we could. Yet he stoops to conquer the lowest of our shoulder rubs. He stoops to conquer our sinful natures, to raise us up to sit with princes on high. He does that. How can it be? Well, listen to what God did for you and me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh my, what a verse that is. The amazing thing about John 3:16 is that it's still true. God gave his son to us, a sacrifice for our sin. Our great and noble God did what he did because he loves us. His mind is on us. Now hear this. How can he love filthy, wretched creatures like we are? Let me tell you something. The best of us is no better than a wretch. I find that in the Bible. Listen to Jeremiah's words under the pen of inspiration. The heart is deceitful and is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now that's that's Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9. And now hear this. God Almighty, the great and holy God, knows our hearts. And he knows our hearts would be He knew our hearts would be deceitful and depraved when he put our names in his book before the world was. Knowing that we would be depraved, he put our names there anyway. But the amazing thing is that he has kept our names in that book. Through time and eternity, he has not removed us from his book. He has not deserted us. That's amazing. But it's most amazing still that after we have done what he knew we would do, he still hasn't erased us from his book. You're saved. And you have a new nature, but your old nature still has its intractable self right there in your heart. Right now, it sits there festering in anger, seeking to splash filth and perversion all over you and all over everyone else. And how do I know that? I know it by personal experience, and I know it by inspired truth. Now hear this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now that's Romans 8, 24 and 25. And I had the same problem Paul had. You had the same problem Paul had. And we all have the same God Paul had. Jesus Christ our Savior refuses to remove us from his book. That's love. And in love, he keeps us there. How can he even think on us? But he does. He loves us. His love for us is good. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? That's Psalm 8, 3 and 4. God's love is excellent. He loved us when we were unlovable. He still loves us so much that he keeps us for himself in spite of who we are and what we are. He loves us. Let me repeat that. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? That's Psalm 8, 3 and 4. God's love is excellent. He loved us when we were unlovable. He still loves us so much that he keeps us for himself in spite of who and what we are. He loves us. God is good because his name is excellent. And his love is excellent. And then God is good because his government, because of his government. God's government is excellent. Let's read Psalm 8, verses 5 through 8. Psalm 8, verses 5 through 8. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And my point here is that God's government is excellent. God's grace is on us, and he has given us dominion over the earth. He gave us dominion over his creation. Consequently, he expects us to care for his creation. We are to be good stewards of what he has given us, the earth and all that is in the visible heavens. We are to govern with intelligence, reason, and love. God puts us in position to govern that way as he gave us dominion over the work of his hands. According to God, all things are put under our feet. In Hebrews chapter 2, Paul relates Psalm 8, 5 through 9 to Jesus Christ. And Paul is right. God gave Paul the right to change the interpretation of the Old Testament passage. But the scripture itself, not the scripture itself, but the interpretation of the scripture. For example, in Psalm 8, David speaks of mankind. But in Hebrews 2, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ. Inspiration has that authority. We don't have that authority. But we do have the inspired scriptures in our hands and in our hearts. So in Psalm 8, the passage refers to mankind. Lost mankind, let me tell you, lost mankind has authority over the earth, but God would have us know that God remains sovereign. And 3,000 years ago, David wrote of things that would not be known for another 2,500 years. and what David wrote was true. Calvin didn't know about it, so Calvin didn't mention the paths of the seas in verse 8. Albert Barnes did. However, Barnes was vague. He wasn't clear at all. He mentioned that the best meaning here is our referring to everything which moves in the seas, in the waters. The idea is that man has a wide and universal dominion, a dominion so vast as to excite amazement, wonder, and even gratitude that that dominion has been given to feeble little man. I don't fault Barnes or Calvin. How can I do that? But those men, geniuses both, worked with what they had. They didn't know about the Atlantic Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is one of the paths of the sea. The Gulf Stream is a mighty river rushing through the ocean. In our hemisphere, it begins off the southern tip of Florida. It flows north along the eastern seaboard and then crosses the ocean flowing northeast. A branch splits off to supply the Mediterranean. Another goes to the Bering Sea and another under the Arctic. This thing, this mighty river, turns the Mississippi into a backyard guppy stream. Hurricanes form off Africa. They cross the ocean. Some ride the Gulf Stream to die out in the Atlantic. But this mighty river flows on, hurricane or not. A thing about this great river is that a boy down in Carolina who goes deep sea fishing, knows about the Gulf Stream. He knows that fishes play in the Gulf Stream. Some deep sea fishing trips go out that far. Now, I never did, but I know of some who did. It's quite a thing, quite a long way out there, maybe more than one day's trip. Anyway, small fish and big fish play in that river. God controls it, fish play in it, and man uses it for his benefit under God's permission, of course. Again, now hear this. Ponce de Leon, the Spanish explorer, found out about the Gulf Stream by accident. This is what he wrote in his ship's log on April 22nd, 1513. De Leon wrote that it was a current such that although they had great wind, they could not proceed forward but backward. And at the end, it was known that the current was more powerful than the wind. Later on, Ben Franklin wrote about it. Franklin learned of it from a Nantucket whaling captain named Folger, to whom he, Franklin, was related. This is what Captain Folger told Cousin Ben. Folger explained that the merchant ships routinely crossed the then unnamed Gulf Stream. Identifying it by whale behavior, measurement of the water's temperature, and the speed of the bubbles on its surface, the changes in the water's color. Then, later on, sailing ships cut 2 weeks off transatlantic crossing times when they caught the Gulf Stream just right. We learned about that in geography class. I think it was junior high. Anyway, listen. God gave man dominion over that Gulf Stream to use for man's good. The third point is that God is good because his government is excellent. Now, as I indicated, there is a branch of this thing that breaks off and flows by the Straits of Gibraltar. I imagine some of it splashes over into the Mediterranean. I also imagine that God's whale, under the Almighty's hand, hitched a ride on this thing and rode this river to the very spot where God had cold and wet Jonah in the sea. So God put Jonah in that submarine seminary prepared just for his wayward prophet. And while he was there, Jonah learned some things in that seminary. Jonah Jonah learned his lesson well as the whale spat him out on dry land, and Jonah made a beeline to Nineveh, people getting saved left and right. God is good because his government is excellent. God has given us oversight of creation. God has done that. How can God put us in charge of such greatness and glory? I don't know, but he did it. He did it because God remains sovereign. In his sovereignty, God has made us responsible to care for creation. But that goes only so far. If we begin to blunder, God uses creation to correct us. And if God's earth warms, it warms not because of man, but because of God. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we rest in God's hands, giving him praise and glory and obedience and love, and pray that he will soon remove this dreaded CV-19, because our God is a mighty God. No one is like he is. He puts us in charge of his creation, so we bow to him, not to whimsical, capricious man, but to God. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee today for Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that he's our Savior. He's your Son, but he's our Savior. And you gave him to us to draw us to you. And here we are, Lord, we come this day as a corporate body of believers scattered really all over the world. We come to thee today praising thee. We bow before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. An excellent name, a beautiful name, a name above all names. We bow before thee and we praise thee and worship thee, and we ask that you would use your word to draw us to yourself. Bless these dear people, even those who are in hospitals or in nursing homes or wherever they might be, those under the gun, under the knife, whatever. Bless your people, your servants, Lord. We're here at your disposal, and we await your end for us. Come quickly, O Lord, come quickly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.